And the government has signed off on plans to extend free GP care over the next 3 years. All children and everyone over the age of 70 will come under the scheme a little bit behind schedule. The new Minister for Health, Leo Varadkar, confirmed the measures.
We do need to agree a contract with the GPs. Both Fine Gael and Labour and the government are very committed to universal primary care. We want to make that the hallmark reform of our health services. But I also want to do it in cooperation with GPs. I don't want a situation whereby they feel overwhelmed or under-resourced. And I've worked in general practice for many years. So I think it's important to take a few months to get it right. But it is absolutely my intention, certainly by the end of the year or early next year, to have access to your GP without a charge for those at the extremes of age, preschool children and people over 70, who are the ones who use our primary care and our GP services the most.
What the Health Minister had to announce, undoubtedly good news for patients, but what about the system and its ability to deal with the change? Steve Thomas is an Associate Professor at the Centre for Health Policy and Management at Trinity College and is on the line. Good morning.
Good morning.
Do we know how much extending GP care to all children and over 70s is going to cost?
We do. I mean, it probably works out at around about 100 million over 3 years. If you take the under sixes, then you add in all primary school age and secondary school age children, and then the over 70s. So actually, if you think that we've already got 39 million already earmarked for the first phase of this, we're looking at probably equivalent amounts or even slightly less over the next 2 years to get that in place. So it is quite affordable.
And relative, not all that expensive, really.
Really not. And it's the kind of thing that you say, well, why wasn't this done earlier? And certainly within the Celtic Tiger years, this would have been a blink of an eye, really.
What about the ability of the system to cope? Do we have any idea about an increase in demand?
Yes, I mean, I think the probably we were doing some workforce planning on this particular issue, and it, probably an increase of about 7% would be about right over the next 3 years. Now, that is, it's not insignificant, but it isn't overwhelming. I think it's something that the government needs to watch and monitor, and probably has to put in some policies to kind of boost the supply response, and it can do that either by increasing the number of practice nurses or thinking a little bit about how other healthcare professionals might take on some of the burden so that it doesn't all fall on GPs. But again, it's not unfeasible, and some of the rhetoric we've been hearing about the system being overwhelmed doesn't stack up with the actual data and indeed from international experience in other countries.
What about the planning of that increase in demand? Is there a possibility that a lot of this will, I suppose, happen by default, and in many cases GPs will be expected to just react and respond, that there won't be a coordinated government approach?
Well, I know the government's been looking at this for a number of years about what the supply responses or the different options for that needs to be. Clearly, it needs to kick in, as the Minister said. It needs to consult with GPs. It needs to look at different options. There are options on the table that have been employed in other countries. If it all falls back onto GPs, that will put them certainly under extra pressure. And one would then need to think about just being careful about the phasing and timing. And that's why you need some kind of effective evaluation and monitoring process over the next 2 years.
As we speak about GPs, we already know that consultation may be something of an issue, as we've seen over the past number of weeks between government and themselves and, in fact, the HSE. What about their willingness to cooperate with this? Because it could mean change, pretty significant change for some practices.
Yes, it certainly will mean change. I think one obviously has sympathy with the GPs, as with other professional groups that have taken quite a big hit over the austerity period. And I think what's particularly front of their minds is the new GP contract that's coming up, which will shake things up. And so that, I think they're probably quite concerned about that. But I think if I was the government, I would be saying that really this isn't about cutting your incomes, it's about rolling out free GP care. And actually, because the cost items are not big, it would be quite possible, I think, for government to say that this will not, will not involve you losing money. We can, still preserve current levels, because this is actually more about extending universal healthcare and getting there than it is about squeezing you.
But how do you ensure that happens?
Well, I think that, you know, I think it's just a simple question of calculating what would the GP, what would GPs lose from private income, what would they gain through additional people being covered. I think it's just a question of doing some simple calculations and then building that into the actual contract and the contract negotiations.
Simple calculations sounds so easy, but we've been here before and we know what these negotiations can often result in.
That may be right, but from a technical point of view, it's not a difficult process. From a political point of view, it boils down to what, you know, whether the stakeholders are willing, and perhaps it boils down to whether GPs want universal healthcare. Of course, the IMO has committed to universal healthcare, and now we're seeing it actually rolled out in practice. I think as long as it's done in a very measured and careful way and well-informed way, it is quite feasible and obviously very attractive.
I suppose probably the most relevant focus on this is to consumers, to householders, to parents of young children and to elderly people as well. What of the potential impact for people who are spending money visiting the GP?
Well, I think obviously for them it's good news, particularly for the under 60s and the over 70s. They use healthcare services a lot. It's been quite difficult for people over the austerity period. There's been quite a lot of quiet cost shifting from government back onto households. Households have had to pay more for different charges, more for drugs. So this is in a sense is a much better move. It's a move back in the right direction. And as I say, it's a stepping stone towards universal healthcare, where we can all go to the GP free at the point of contact.
All right. Thanks for taking our call this morning. That's Steve Thomas from the Centre for Health Policy and Management at Trinity College in Dublin.